Senior figures from Labour and the Scottish National Party are considering calls for legal action against Tony Blair following severe criticisms from the long-awaited Chilcot inquiry into the war in Iraq. MPs led by Alex Salmond could try to impeach the former Prime Minister. An ancient law last used in 1806 could ensure Blair never holds office again.
Prosecutors at the International Criminal Court have ruled out putting former British Prime Minister Tony Blair on trial for war crimes. However, Mr. Salmond, the former Scottish First Minister, said there has to be a judicial or political reckoning, adding 179 British war dead, 150,000 immediate dead from the Iraq conflict, the Middle East in flames, the world faced with an existential crisis on terrorism. These are just some of the reasons why people don't hold him in the highest regard. The war has had terrible consequences for the public in Iraq and the UK. Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn said, "We went into a war that was catastrophic, that was illegal, that cost us a lot of money, that lost a lot of lives." Grieving families could also feel Tony Blair exceeded his powers, leading to deadly violence and an international refugee crisis.
How do the public feel about the Chilcot report? Do families of soldiers who died in Iraq feel deceived by Tony Blair? These are some of the simple questions we sought to answer. In one of the thousands of bombing strikes in Blair's 2003 invasion of Iraq, a three-year-old girl lost her entire family, one eye and one ear. She suffered 65% burns on her body and died 2 years later. Would this alone be enough to convict Tony Blair? We asked the public.
Yes, it does, but whether Tony Blair alone should be indicted is an entirely different matter. I mean, I think one has to look much more broadly than Blair himself. One has to look at the advice he was given.
I wouldn't have thought so, no. I'm no supporter of Tony Blair. I think he behaved very regrettably indeed. But if he is to be convicted of war crimes, I think the evidence of Chilcot is not there.
Not really sure, really. It depends on the sort of information he was getting from his advisers. But it does look like he's obviously not been telling the full truth.
Yeah, if that's true, then they should be held accountable for that. And the public deserves to know what actually happened. And the people who were killed deserve justice. The families need answers, so as well as the public.
I believe, yeah, definitely at least a trial. Don't know about a full-on conviction, so I don't know the full details, but I think at least a trial, definitely.
I think it should be enough to convict Tony Blair, but I don't think it will be enough to convict Tony Blair. The truth of the matter is there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who have lost their lives and had their lives completely torn apart by the disastrous war which Tony Blair led. So in an ideal world, this would be enough to convict Tony Blair. With the current system, I don't think it will be. So I think what's needed is a continual pressure to highlight the crimes committed under the illegal invasion of the British government into Iraq. And therefore, we must hold Tony Blair accountable. It might not happen today, but it should happen and it must happen.
Indeed, the war against Iraq was a war against the entire Iraqi people and Iraq's infrastructure. Part of the reason Iraq was attacked is because it had a big military infrastructure, health, education, industrial infrastructure, one of the strongest in the whole Middle Eastern region. So when Tony Blair and George Bush led the Western countries and considerable sections of Western political elites and masses into the war against Iraq, it was to destroy Iraq. It wasn't to just regime change, quote unquote, but it was to actually overturn and to destroy down to the ground totally that potential and actual defiance that Iraq had in terms of the way it stood as a country and its people and its alliances in the region and globally, with all its problems and contradictions, of which there were many, and injustices, which there were many in Iraq. But Iraq was attacked. Iraq was attacked, conducted by a genocidal imperialist war of aggression, which broke international rules of warfare, attacked civilians, collectively punished the civilian population, and the Iraqi people are still unfortunately going deeper into their plight as a direct result of that. So indeed, Tony Blair can be convicted, must be convicted, will be convicted in the crimes that he helped to lead.
Blair led Britain into a war that destroyed Iraq and drew in terrorists who are still bombing and killing innocent civilians to this day. Has he been the most destructive man of the 21st century? The public said this.
I don't know about that, but certainly I think his decision to go to war with Iraq did result in a lot of bloodshed and death, so perhaps, yeah.
Completely the wrong decision to make, and completely the wrong decision to go into Iraq. Had ramifications for us for the foreseeable future, you know.
Was it a destructive decision, do you think?
I think with hindsight it was, without a doubt, yeah, it was the wrong decision.
Oh, I think he was a naive fool, and I think it's had an enormous impact directly related to his decision, or his support of Bush's decision, has led directly to the increase in terrorism.
It's a horrendous war, it's been really destructive, but compared to George W. Bush's role, you know, that he must be a bigger, just more destructive person than Tony Blair.
I think there's a very strong case to say he has been the most destructive figure of the 21st century. If we look at the war itself, this is one thing. Hundreds of thousands of people were killed, many of them including American and British personnel. So we can think about that. And then the important point also is to consider the consequences of the Iraq war. Had ramifications all around the region, in Syria, Libya, and all around the Arabian Peninsula and the Middle East. So, yes, in that sense, I think there's a very strong case to suggest he is the most divisive figure and ultimately one of the most despicable war criminals of the century.
I'm a bit concerned when the whole period of the Bush and Blair era, as it's called, is just personified only onto George Bush and Tony Blair. These are the leading symbolic culprits of the imperialist crimes of war and destruction, etc. But these individuals are not narrowly responsible. The system which they represent is responsible. So it's important to not let off the system as we target Tony Blair correctly for the war crimes he's conducted. It was an imperialist system in growing crisis. It was manufacturing certain incidents so it could try to attempt to control its domination of military and economy across the world. It was an imperialist system, not just Tony Blair. Tony Blair was part of an imperialist party, which still exists today. The party is institutionally racist and imperialist, and the party is also responsible. When the Nazis occupied European countries, we weren't going to say it's just Hitler that's responsible. The whole Nazi party was responsible for those crimes. And similarly, the Republican Party and the Labour Party and other political parties are responsible for the crimes. So in a way, I can understand that Tony Blair is one of the most destructive people in recent living memory in terms of the destruction he's helped to deliver. But he helped to deliver that in a devastating, very efficient, very effective way. Yes, that's true. But the UK intelligence services, the deep state in the UK, which is the military, the monarchy, and the intelligence services, were all behind this debacle and this war of aggression against Iraq. So while we hold Blair to account, let's not forget the systemic, the institutional responsibility of the system in the crimes against Iraq and others as well.
The invasion led directly to the death of 179 British soldiers and over 1 million Iraqi casualties. The military action plunged Iraq into chaos, deadly violence, and the rise of thousands of terrorist groups like ISIL. There has also been massive migration, with the effects leading to a refugee crisis, which has contributed to the influx of people seeking safety in countries such as Greece and other European Union nations bordering the Mediterranean and Adriatic seas.
How do the public feel about the millions of pounds Blair has earned since invading Iraq? Should that money be taken from him? And if so, who should it go to?
I don't know, really. I'm sure he's quite comfortable, isn't he? I don't know. That's a hard question. I think I don't know whether money would help the people that have been affected by it. You know, it's kind of a little bit too late for them.
No. The post of Prime Minister is desperately underpaid, and I think if people with his sort of experience go on to earn lots of, you know, money in an advisory role subsequently, good luck to them.
It should go to the public who are suffering because of the way society is today. Homeless people, the NHS, that sort of thing. I'm a good socialist.
Obviously, it's legitimate, the money he's earned, but it's on the back of something that he's done that if he's happy with, and, you know, that's down to him personally, I think. But I don't think legally he'd have a leg to stand on to try and get that money back.
It's an absolute scandal, the amount of money that the war criminal Tony Blair has made since leaving office. 250 grand for a speech, and this man has war crimes on his hands. If there was any justice, this money would be given to the victims of the families who lost loved ones in Iraq, and the money should also be given to rebuild the essential infrastructure which was destroyed by the war which Tony Blair had a huge part in leading.
Blair made a killing out of destroying Iraq, and Blair has gone on to make a killing subsequently in being some kind of consultant in the affairs of the Middle East. He's obviously the worst kind of consultant that you need in terms of assisting the region, considering his destructive role in that. Now, the money, and he's got millions of pounds subsequent to being Prime Minister in his consultancy and other political and diplomatic work. Not only should he be stripped of all this money, but frankly, the UK state needs to be stripped of the money that needs to be given for reparations to the Iraqi people. Millions of Iraqis have died. The infrastructure has totally been destroyed. They are continuing to plunge into a vortex of sectarian war, which was unleashed and initiated and led by the United States and the United Kingdom. So the United States and United Kingdom and all parties involved, all leading parties especially involved in the destruction of Iraq, need to be demanded, and it needs to be delivered that all reparations are given to Iraq. That means a financial reparations and political reparations. Until this happens, there will be no justice for Iraqi people.
179 British soldiers lost their lives believing that they were fighting for the safety of their country, but this was false. Do the public think these families of the deceased feel deceived by Blair?
I'm sure they do, yes. Which is why I admired Corbyn so much the other day for apologising on behalf of the Labour Party. Yes, I'm sure they do feel deceived.
Yeah, certainly, yeah. I mean, obviously, if it was his family he was sending in, he may not have been so quick to make a decision of that nature, you know. So obviously, they should feel very aggrieved.
I don't know. I suppose they did their thing for their country and their duty. It's difficult.
If the investigation, you know, if it's found out that he did wrong things, then definitely, and that's just so unjust, you know, the families would feel awful. That's not right at all, and I feel terrible for them.
I think the public do think these families were deceived by Blair. In fact, I was talking to a few of them the other day, Veterans for Peace, on the day the Chilcot report was released, and I talked to a few of them, and all of them echoed the same sentiment. They feel they were lied to, they feel they were hoodwinked, they feel like they were not looked after when they were out there, and importantly, many of them feel that on returning from war, they did not get the support they needed. Psychological support for the trauma they've often seen, the financial support, all aspects of support. And actually, this is something you see is a trend throughout armed forces throughout the world. Human beings are not made to kill each other anyway, definitely not in illegal circumstances. And so they never get the support they needed. They were lied to get them out there, and they had no support out there or since they've returned. It's an absolute scandal.
I'm always very sensitive when people talk about British soldiers who lost their lives and limb in the genocidal colonial attack and occupation of Iraq, because obviously millions of Iraqis died. So I think we have to always be balanced in the way we talk about these things. Of course, I sympathize with those military families who have in Britain and the United States who have lost loved ones, or their loved ones have been permanently injured. Actually, in the United States, it was a massive crisis economically as a result of the injured US soldiers coming out from the Iraq war, which was basically as a result of the Iraqi resistance defending their land and their people and their country. But of course, we should sympathize with the military families, and some of them want to hold Blair to account for his crimes, and some of the military families will still support what this country did to Iraq. So we cannot say all the military families feel that they were all deceived by Blair. Some do and some don't. And obviously we build a bridge and we extend a hand of friendship to those military families who oppose what this country did to Iraq. But this country did the same thing to Libya again 10 years later. And we're all the similar lies, all the similar strategies of destroying a country was rolled out against Libya. No mass movement against the war in Libya. No justice for the Libyans. Libyans don't even exist for most people and their plight. So I think we have to always be sensitive to the colonial hierarchy that's imposed upon us, where the military families of the UK and the US are somehow greater, more important, or just human beings, whereas Iraqis and Libyans and others and Syrians and Palestinians and Zimbabweans and others are not even considered in the framework of humanity as it comes out and defined by Europe and Eurocentrism.
How do the public feel about the result of the Chilcot report?
Yes, I'm still reading up on the Chilcot report, and I'm not really ready to make an opinion on its findings. I mean, it was 2.8 million words, and it's rather too early to be asking me that question.
I think when you look at it, it seems like there was a lot of different reasons why we went for war. I don't think they were... None of them at the time that were mentioned were good reasons to go to war, and I think there's hardly any good reasons to go to war anyway.
I haven't read or heard of the Chilcot report in detail, so I don't know, but believing that we went there in error, then yes.
Not too much, but obviously, you know, the Americans gave him a chance to sort of stand back for a little while and come in at a later date, which maybe I think would have been the wiser thing, but it seems that he was very keen to keep the Americans. And not, you know, obviously those families of those soldiers wouldn't be too keen on that. You know, they should have been more of his main interest rather than the Americans.
I think the result is a good result. I think the problem with it was it took so long and it took a hell of a lot of taxpayers' money. From what I understand, and I haven't read the million plus pages, but I've looked at the analysts who have taken the time to read it. It seems like it was an accurate report. But I think the important thing to remember is ultimately, it doesn't really tell us anything we didn't know. Anyone that's been watching this tragedy unfold since 2003 is very well aware of the fact that the reasons for which the war was based on are fraudulent, from the weapons of mass destruction to all the other reasons we were given. We know we were lied to. The Chilcot report is a vindication of that. But it's been so long since the report was initially founded, it doesn't tell us anything new.
The Chilcot report didn't tell us anything that we didn't already know. There was no revelations in the Chilcot report. It was just an official report, has no legal power, that stated the obvious things that we knew for many, many, many years. Yes, I mean, it's a contribution in the sense that it builds pressure in terms of those people who are seeking justice for the people of Iraq. That's true. But again, I'm a little bit concern that it's become so personalized onto one man, however reprehensible, however much of a criminal he is, which he is. But the culpability in the crime of those who led the destruction of Iraq is a lot wider than Tony Blair. Many individuals are responsible. We know from the Chilcot, something that we knew before anyway, that the intelligence services were driving this forward. The intelligence services represent that section of the ruling circles in this country who saw the destruction of Iraq as very important to their strategic interests in the region and globally. And in this sense, Tony Blair is not wrong. In the sense that he says that Saddam Hussein and the Iraqi government at the time was a threat. Yes, it was a threat, not to the people of the region. It was a threat to Western designs of domination in the region. And we know now that Wesley Clark, a former general in the United States, has said very clearly, Iraq, Iran, Syria, Libya, all had to be, and Sudan, I think, all had to be destroyed so as to achieve US hegemony across the world.
The Iraq invasion has led to almost 180 British war dead, 150,000 immediate Iraqi dead from the war, and a measurable rise in terror groups as a direct result of this military action. These are the scars from Tony Blair's decision to send the United Kingdom's military machine into Iraq.
And now the Chilcot report has been published, and the people have spoken. And one issue stands out above all else, that the United Kingdom went to war on a lie, and before other options had been fully explored. And this has destabilised the world.